Thank you and good morning. Welcome to Bible Talk. There are people who, rather than taking responsibility for their own actions, will put the blame for their bad behavior on someone or something else. For example, a person gets angry, loses his temper, and says some very unkind words. And he explains his behavior by saying, "Well, I've had a bad day." In other words, don't blame me, blame the bad day that I have had. Blame those who caused me to have a bad day. Well, this is an effort to take away personal responsibility for one's actions. Here's a person who commits a crime, but someone says he just acted out a social behavior pattern he learned as a child. In other words, don't blame him, blame his environment. Sometimes the way sin is labeled is an effort to take away personal responsibility for one's sin. For example, drunkenness is labeled as a disease called alcoholism, like cancer or tuberculosis. In other words, don't blame the drunkard. He has a disease that he cannot help. Well, when someone commits sin, should we put the blame for his bad behavior on something or someone else? When is the individual accountable for his actions? Well, what does the Bible say? This is the focus of our program today, and we're glad that you're with us. The Bible teaches that God holds each person accountable for his own deeds. In the Old Testament scriptures, in Ezekiel chapter 18, in verses 1 through 3, it says, "The word of the Lord came to me again, saying, 'What do you mean when you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge? As I live, says the Lord God, you shall no longer use this proverb in Israel.'" Now, in Ezekiel's day, there were those who were blaming the present plight of the nation of Israel on the previous generations. Now, it's not that those previous generations were without fault. They were not. It's just that the present generation was saying, "We're not to be blamed for what is happening to us today. It's our father's fault." They were saying, "We're not responsible." They had drawn a clever picture of a parent eating a sour grape, but the children's teeth being set on edge, as if to say they were only innocent victims and not to blame for their suffering and error. Well, the Lord told them to stop using that ridiculous proverb because it wasn't true. The Lord said in verse 4, "Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father, as well as the soul of the Son, is mine. The soul who sins shall die." In verse 20, he says, "The soul who sins shall die. The Son shall not bear the guilt of the Father, nor the Father bear the guilt of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself." The Lord is saying here that each person is directly responsible as an individual unto God. Each person is individually responsible for his own conduct. "My Father's righteousness will not save me, nor will his wickedness condemn me. I do not inherit my spiritual standing with God from my ancestors. Though I may suffer some of the consequences for their sins, as well as enjoy some of the consequences of their righteousness, my standing with God is based upon my own actions." Ezekiel is saying that the destiny of each soul is directly related to the choice that each soul makes. In verse 30 it says, "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that iniquity will not be your ruin." Also, the New Testament scriptures teach personal responsibility. Romans 2 and verse 6 says that God will render to each one according to his deeds. In other words, God will judge each person according to what he does, not according to what someone else does. Paul said to the saints in Corinth, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. You see, I will not give an account for what someone else has done, and no one will give an account before Christ for what I have done. Each person will give an account for what he has done. and the Lord's judgment will be without partiality. Paul said, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. Romans 2 verses 9 through 11. God will not favor one nation over another. He will not favor one family over another. Just because my parents are Christians and lived good lives will not mean that God will be partial toward me and save me. You see, He will judge me according to my deeds. I will also not be able to use the evil influence of my family as an excuse for my sinful deeds. You see, when I stand before Christ in judgment, He will not hear my excuses, but Lord, I had a bad upbringing, or Lord, people just didn't treat me right, and therefore they provoked me, or the temptations were just too strong for me. I will not be able to put the blame on anyone or anything else. The Bible teaches that I am responsible for my own actions, and that God will judge me according to my deeds. Now, there are some people who believe that they cannot help themselves from committing certain sins or crimes. They believe they were made a certain way and that it is impossible for them to overcome the temptations to do wrong. Or some think that they have been doing wrong for so long that it is impossible for them to change. The drug addict may think he can't quit. The alcoholic thinks he can't stop drinking. The one who is given to sexual sins may think that changing is beyond his control. Well, there is no question that temptations to do evil can be very strong. But the Bible teaches that there is a way of escape. God has made it possible for anyone to do right if he has the will to do right. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Now notice the phrase, God is faithful. This means you can count on God. What God promises, He will fulfill. God will not allow His people to be tempted beyond what they are able to bear. He will always provide the way of escape. Now, we need to emphasize that God does not tempt us to do evil. James says in James chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed." God does not tempt us to do evil. Satan does. Satan is called a tempter in Matthew 4 and verse 3. But the promise is that God will not allow Satan to tempt us beyond what we're able to bear. God provides a way of escape. With God's help, we can change and do what is right. You see, God is faithful. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, Paul tells us how we can be strong in the Lord, and thereby able to overcome Satan's temptations. Listen as I read verses 10 through 13. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Now, Paul is saying that we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might when we face the temptations of Satan. Satan's temptations may be strong, but they surely are not stronger than God's power. Paul is saying we are able to have God's strength. Well, how can we have this strength and be able to stand in the evil day? Well, Paul says it's by putting on the whole armor of God. And he lists for us this armor in verses 14 through 18. He says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." You see, by putting on this whole armor of God, we are strong in the Lord and thereby able to overcome the temptations of Satan. And this is something that each and every one of us can do. God has made it possible for all mankind to come to Him and put on His whole armor if they want to. What this requires is that I must become a Christian. I must commit my life to Jesus Christ and live for Him. And I can do that. You can do that if you will. And so if I commit sin and live in sin, I cannot blame God. I cannot blame my parents. I cannot blame my circumstances. I cannot blame people with whom I work. I can only blame myself. Why? Because I am able to come to Christ and commit my life to Him. I am able to put on the whole armor of God. I am able then to do what is right. You see, the choice is mine. This is the reason that the judgment of Christ will be just. When Christ condemns certain ones to eternal punishment, as the Bible says that He will, it will be because of the choices these individuals have made in their lives. They could have done what was right. They could have come to Christ and given their lives to Him. They could have put on the whole armor of God. But rather, they chose to refuse the power that God has made available. And they have chosen to continue in their sins. They will receive their just recompense or reward. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 3, "Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him?" The point is, we will not escape if we neglect the great salvation that the Lord has provided for us. Why not come to Jesus today? Believe that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. John 8 and verse 24. Repent of your sins. Acts 3 verse 19. Confess your faith in Christ. Romans 10, 9 and 10. And then be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. The Lord will save you. He will add you to His saved body of people, the church. And if you will live for Him, putting on the whole armor of God, then you will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You will then be kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. 1 Peter 1 verse 5. We thank you for listening. Our time is gone for today. If you would like a free audio CD of today's program or of any of our Bible Talk broadcasts, then just give us your name and address and the title of the program that you desire, and we will be glad to send it to you absolutely free of charge. And there are three ways that you may send in your request. You may email it in. Our email address is sjchurch@fidnet.com. Or you may call it in. Our telephone number is 573-265-8628. Or you may mail it in through the U.S. Postal Service, and our address is Bible Talk, P.O. Box 308, St. James, Missouri, 65559.